It's sad to see our Lord Jesus worshipped by the world merely as a babe at Christmas time. And again at Easter time only as a crucified Savior on a cross. For the remainder of the year, he's mostly forgotten. And I'm sure Satan is pleased with these limitations. We know Jesus was born a baby. We know he died on a cross as a human being. But now we proclaim that he is no longer in a manger. He's no longer dead. He's resurrected from the tomb, and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. To him all power on heaven and earth has been given. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last of all the creation of God. In his pre-human existence, he said, I was daily my Father's delight, Proverbs 8:30. John 1, verse 3 tells us all things were made by him, without him was nothing made. In Colossians 1:16, by him are all things created in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. But he became poor. He divested himself of his spiritual nature, and he came to earth as a human being that he might be a corresponding price for sin. And so we no longer see our Lord Jesus as a helpless babe, nor of a victim of man's hate upon a cross. He is our almighty Savior and King, by whom all things are made possible. And as Christian Bible students, chosen and ordained of God as ministers of his word, we see Jesus as a golden thread woven throughout the entire scriptures, from ages past, for ages yet to come. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed of Abraham, by whom all the families of the earth will eventually be blessed. He is Shiloh, meaning the one to come whose right it is. He is that Spirit of God who supervised and directed all creation. He is the couched lion of the tribe of Judah. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb whose blood is placed on and above the doorpost. In Leviticus, Jesus is the bullock which the priest offered on God's holy altar for the remission of sins. And in Numbers, we see Jesus in Aaron, the priest, who offered with his sons, who with his sons constitute the priesthood. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses, whom God will raise up to lead his people. In Joshua, Jesus is the captain of the Lord's host, whose feet stand on holy ground. In Judges, again, we see our Lord Jesus in Gideon, the one who with 300 faithful defeat the hosts of Midian with their lights and their trumpets. In Ruth, we see Jesus as Boaz, the kinsman, who takes Ruth for a wife that he may continue the Abrahamic seed through David. In 1 and 2 Samuel, we see Jesus in the anointed David, the one who waits patiently to be anointed king. He is the tower of our salvation and the light of the morning. In 1 and 2 Kings, we see Jesus in the wisdom of Solomon. Chapter 4, verse 3, and Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of Egypt. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, Jesus is a king upon a throne, reigning over all Israel in majesty and glory. More so than any king who had ever reigned before him, he's the father of all Israel. In Ezra, Jesus is that faithful scribe and priest to whom is entrusted the law and the commandments. In Nehemiah, we see Jesus as the rebuilder and the restorer of the walls of the city. Chapter 2, verse 7, that Jerusalem should no more be a reproach unto our God. In Esther, chapter 10, verse 3, we see Jesus in Mordecai, the one who sits at the right hand of the king to intercede for his brethren, because Mordecai was great in the sight of the king. In Job, Jesus is the Redeemer, the one who restores the human race to health and prosperity following a terrible experience with the adversary. In Psalms, Jesus is the Good Shepherd, the one who restores my soul, anoints my head with oil, and leads me in the path of righteousness so that my cup runneth over. Psalms 98 and 1, the one to whom has been given the victory. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, the stone that becomes the head of the corner. In Proverbs, we see the knowledge and wisdom of our Lord Jesus in the sages of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In Ecclesiastes, again, Jesus is the wisdom of Solomon. He writes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And what shall we do about it? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, do with your might what your hands find to do, but above all, fear and reverence Jehovah. In the Songs of Solomon, we see Jesus as the bridegroom. And the king adores his bride. Chapter 4, verse 7, thou art fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, but a lily among thorns. In Isaiah chapter 53, we see Jesus as a suffering Savior, despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But he is the arm of our salvation, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, our judge and lawgiver. He's the Prince of Peace, but esteemed, smitten of God. In Jeremiah 33:15, Jesus is the branch of righteousness, the one whom shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In Lamentations, again, we see Jesus as Jeremiah weeping over Jerusalem, as he says in chapter 1, verse 2, is there any sorrow like my sorrow? Is it nothing to you who pass by? In Ezekiel, we see our Lord Jesus called to a life of hardship and persecution. He is instructed to be a song to the house of Israel, chapter 24, verse 24, you shall do precisely according to all that the Lord has done, so that they shall know that I am their God. And then in Ezekiel 34, 24, Jesus is the prince in Israel's future. He speaks, they shall be no more a prey. They shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. In Daniel, we see Jesus as the fourth man in the fiery furnace, whose form is like unto the Son of God. And in chapter 12, verse 1, he is Michael the Prince, the one who shall stand for his people, every one whose name is written in the book. In Hosea, we see Jesus as the faithful husbandman, who through love marries an unchaste woman. Hosea 3, verses 1 through 3. Hosea, go, love this woman, although she be an adulteress. She shall abide with thee. She shall never again be a harlot, nor shall she be for another man. In Joel 2:28, Jesus is the one who pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, and all shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be delivered. In Amos 9, verses 11 through 15, Jesus is the one who will raise up again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and restore it as it was in the days of old. I will plant my people in their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of the land which I have given them. In Obadiah, Jesus is the mighty one who sits in judgment on Mount Zion. And a Savior shall come to Mount Zion to judge Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Here Jesus is telling us that Christendom must be destroyed as though they had not been. The incorrigible ones must be cut off. In Jonah, Jesus is the one with the evangelical spirit who takes the message of truth far and wide that it might be a witness to the world. In Micah 5, verse 2, Jesus is the messenger who announces that out of Jerusalem shall come forth he that shall be a ruler in Israel. Many nations shall come to Zion, and he shall teach them. And in Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, our Lord speaks. He says, the holiness of Jehovah must always bring sin to judgment. The Lord's revenges. He will bring vengeance upon the adversary. And the message is to antitypical Nineveh. Chapter 3, verse 3, the horseman shall lift up his sword and his bright spear, and a multitude are slain. Verse 5, I will show the nations their nakedness and shame. And now back at 2, verse 2, it is the Lord Jesus who instructs the prophet to write the vision upon tables to make it plain that he who runs may read it. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Jesus speaking, he says, wait upon me, I'll rise to the prey. I will gather the nations to pour upon them my indignation. I will return to the people a pure language that they may serve me with one consent. Again, Jesus speaks prophetically in judgment in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Yet in a little while will I shake the nations, the heavens, and the earth, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill my house with glory. In Zechariah, Jesus says, I am the Spirit of grace. They shall weigh out 30 pieces of silver for my price and cast it to the potter. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced with bitterness and shame. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, he's the messenger of the covenant. Chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus promises, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you shall not be able to contain. In Matthew, Jesus is the Messiah, that lowly Nazarene, Emmanuel. He's the Spirit of the Father, the Son of David, but also David's Lord. In Mark, he is the wonder worker whose miracles prove that he has indeed come from God. In Luke, Jesus is the Son of Man, of virgin birth, born in a manger, circumcised according to the law. He grew as a child, he became strong as a man, was filled with wisdom, the son of a devout mother, and the first of seven children. In John, Jesus is the Son of God, the Logos, the Word, the messenger of Jehovah, full of grace and truth, the very Lamb of God, the source of life and the only remedy for sin. In Acts, Jesus sends an audible and visible, mighty and miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Chapter 2, verse 2, and there came a rushing mighty wind, there appeared tongues of fire upon their heads, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's that voice from heaven which spoke, Paul, why persecutest thou me? In Romans, Jesus is the justifier. Chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned but being justified by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's that Spirit of holiness, the deliverer out of Zion, the Spirit of adoption. In Corinthians, Jesus is the giver of gifts, of wisdom, of knowledge, of faith, to all who God wills. He's that spiritual rock, the one who died and rose again, our Lord of glory. And in Galatians, Jesus saves us from the law. Chapter 4, verse 31. We are not children of the bondswoman, not under the law. We are the free woman, as was Isaac. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, Jesus, through Paul, tells us of the unsearchable riches of Christ, not to Jews only, but to all men, even Gentiles. He's that eternal purpose of God, the mystery now revealed by the Spirit, that sweet-smelling savor unto God. In Philippians, Jesus is the one who supplies all our needs. Chapter 4, verse 19, My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. In Colossians, we see the superiority of Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature, the creator, the craftsman of all that is made. He is the head of the church. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Jesus tells us of His second presence. And as believers, we see His presence as a thief in the night, while the world scoffs. He tells us to watch, to pray, and to be sober, to be armed and prepared for every eventuality. In 1 and 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus is the mediator, the one between God and man, the one who gave Himself a ransom for all. He is that blessed potentate, the King eternal. In Titus, He is the faithful pastor, the one who speaks sound doctrine, the one who teaches us to be a pattern of good works, even in an ungodly world. In Philemon, verse 16, Jesus is telling us that we are not servants only, but that we are brethren together, together with Him and together with each other, and to act accordingly. In Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20, Jesus is the great high priest, and He tells us that He's the blood of the everlasting covenant, because it is His blood that puts the new covenant into operation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, the apostle of our profession, the captain of our salvation. In James, our Lord Jesus tells us that works are not contrary to faith, but that works complement faith. Chapter 1, 22, Be doers of the word and not hearers only. In 1 and 2 Peter, Jesus tells us to be mindful of the words of the holy prophets and the apostles, and not to be led away by the error of the wicked, but rather to grow in grace and in knowledge. He is that Lamb of God without blemish, the chief shepherd of the flock. In John's epistles, our Lord's message is love. Love everlasting, with the promise in 1 John 3, verse 2, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Here Jesus is our righteousness, our advocate with the Father, the propitiation for our sins. In Jude, verse 4, Jesus cautions us that the apostasy of the church has already begun and that we will have to contend for the faith. He promises to come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. And in Revelation, we see Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the true and faithful witness, the bright and morning star, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Why do I take the liberty of suggesting that our Lord Jesus is as a golden thread throughout the Scriptures? Because Jesus is involved in the continuity of God's plan from the beginning to the very end. Jesus is that train of thought throughout the entire Bible. Pastor Russell writes, Volume 1, page 38 and 39, "The Bible is not a book merely to be read. It must be studied, for the richest truths lie beneath the surface. This book throughout constantly points and refers to that one prominent character, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. So from the beginning to the very end, Jesus' name, his office, and his work is of the greatest prominence. And so as Bible students, it behooves us to present Jesus as God's Son, the one to whom is entrusted all things from ages past and for ages yet to come."